morning, everyone. Happy New Year. I trust that you all are well and made it through. I once heard a story about a lead pastor who decided to skip the first Sunday of the new year to go up to his cabin. And as he was unloading the things in his trunk and his fishing gear, his hiking gear, and he was trucking up the mountain, looking at the beautiful trees and realizing, man, what a beautiful day it is to be with nature. And then all of a sudden, he ran into a bear. Now, not any kind of bear. It was like a big bear, the kind that you see and you just want to like run. And so being that he kind of wished he was in church by now, he dropped all of his things and he ran and ran and ran. And before you know it, he ran around in a circle and landed right in front of the bear. And as he is laying there and his stuff is all over the place, he thought to himself, Lord, 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 if you could do me this favor, please, Lord, make a Christian out of this bear. And you know what happened? Immediately, that bear fell down to his knees. He put his paws together and said, Lord, thank you for the food I'm about to receive. We trust that wherever Pastor Dave is, he is okay. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another year. We thank you for another expression of your love. We thank you for allowing us to be in your house, to worship you in all of your greatness and all of your might. I ask, Lord, that I might decrease, that you might increase, that you might empty out my vessel, and that we may be full of God's word, that they would not hear my voice, but they would hear your voice through me. And in your name do we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning is taken from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. You may turn to it in your Bibles. It is located also in the bulletin. You may read it on the screen behind me, or you may scroll to it with one of your smart devices. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm going to read to you another version from the Message. You don't have to turn to it. You can look at it on the screen behind me or just listen. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'll better get on with it. Strip down, start running. Never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through that will shoot adrenaline into your souls. In about 2011, I had just graduated from seminary. I was working three jobs. I was working as a chaplain at Cal State Long Beach University. I was working as a youth pastor at a church called St. Luke's. And I was also a manager of a fitness center in Beverly Hills. And if you can imagine, you know, being young, just graduated seminary, life is pretty good. And One of the benefits of working at a fitness center is you get a free trainer and you get someone to show you how to do proper exercise. Now, if you can imagine, I was 5'6", and I believe I'm still 5'6", despite what my youth may tell you. And I believe I weighed about a buck 30 and was lifting and was toned, was fit, and was working on my abs. And when you are working out, you feel good about yourself, whether it's taking a walk, whether it's running, whether it's lifting, whether it's just eating healthy, you feel good about yourself. Then I became a full-time youth pastor, and it was downhill from there. The candy, the nachos, the pasta, the candy, the nachos in the pasta, it just wasn't good. And I remember one of the things that my trainer taught me. He said, you can exercise and you have to diet. And I would exercise and then I would eat what I want. And then I stopped eating what I want. I was eating healthy, but then I stopped exercising. And so he told me, you have to do both together. You have to watch what you eat, and you have to stay active. So if we want to be physically fit, we have to exercise, and we have to eat right. Now, what do we do if we want to be spiritually fit? As I was thinking of 2016 and how we all have goals that we want to acquire, things that we want to achieve, what would it look like if we can become spiritually fit in 2016? So we're going to talk about 4 points. We're going to talk about the race. Now, just so you know, I spent an extra hour in my study to find an acronym that you guys can remember to come up with race. So just want to throw that out there. So the first R stands for recognizing your brokenness, alleviating your burden, concentrating on Jesus, and enduring until the end. Now, when you look at the scripture, 12:1, we see that in the first verse, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, the fact that that adverb there is therefore indicates that we now must go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and we read about all the heroes in faith. Now, we all have heroes. We all sometimes strive and fantasize about being famous and being a hero. In fact, I have fantasized about being a hero. In fact, how about I just show you? So I have fantasized about being Bolt. Now, he is a fast runner. I mean, he's physically fit. I mean, do you know he was Athlete of the Year in 2015? I mean, seriously, who doesn't want to be Bolt? But if you don't want to, you know, run fast, I've also fantasized about being the Old Spice guy. And I mean, we kind of look the same. See, if you look closely, I mean, we're kind of similar, just so you know. But my mind wanders, and then I decided, you know, I want to strive, and I want to reach a big goal. I want to be someone that's just vivacious. So no other than my friend, Mr. Donald Trump. I mean, who doesn't want to be president? I mean, who doesn't want to be in that kind of race? You can be in all sorts of kind of races. You can be in the race where you're running. You can be in the race where you're lifting. You can be in the race where you're running for president. But we're all in some sort of race. If you are a Christian, you're on the race and the journey to see the Lord. If you are a non-Christian, you are still on the race. It's just that you are still at the starting line. You haven't went anywhere. See, when you accept the Lord as your Savior and you get on this race, now you have access to God. You have access to His mercy, to His forgiveness, and to His love, and to His grace. When we look at all the heroes in Hebrews chapter 11, we see that by faith, they were able to get through. For example, by faith, Abel offered God a sacrifice to Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken from life and walked with God. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham sacrificed Isaac. By faith, Moses led the people. What are the two common denominators that they all have in common, that we have in common with them? They had faith, and yet they were broken. They recognized that in their brokenness, that God can still utilize them. Recognize that even Moses didn't even enter the promised land, but yet he ran the race as best he could with the Lord. In Hebrews 12:1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we can actually interpret that witnesses in the Greek as meaning martyr. So if we replace that word and we say testifiers, not those spectators who say, hey, you can do it, but these are people who can testify that they have run the race. Think of someone that discipled you when you were little. Think of someone that is continually discipling you, whether in a small group, accountability group, maybe it's your wife, your husband, maybe it's a professor or a teacher, if you're a student. They can testify of how good God has been because they can recognize that in their broken state, that God was still faithful. So this is what happened when we recognize our brokenness. When you recognize whatever you are in your state, for example, if you're struggling with porn, if you're struggling with drugs, if you're struggling with lust, with anger, with bitterness, with financial issues, you're struggling with anything, if you can recognize where you are, and then you can recognize that you are not alone, how much more that when we run this race, we can actually do this thing together. So if you recognize and you own up to your addiction and you own up to your drug issue and you own up to your alcohol issue and you own up to your greed, then you can hold me accountable. I can hold you accountable. You can be healed. You can be get healed. And then we see that we're all doing this thing together. That when you recognize where you are, that someone else perhaps may be in the exact same spot, that the grass may not necessarily be greener on the other side. Now, when this happens, when we recognize that we're not alone, like Hebrews 12:1 says, there's a great cloud of witnesses, there's great testifiers who have gone on before us. When we recognize our brokenness, we recognize our sin, then we have need of redemption. And it just so happens that up here, we have a God who's a redeemer. So when we recognize that we're alone, we're not alone, when we recognize that we're broken, when we recognize how good God is, in spite of our sin, our desire for redemption meets our Redeemer, and then we become whole. My friends, God's desire on this race is not for you to be broken. It is for you to be whole physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, spiritually. He wants you to be whole. The exact opposite of being broken is being whole. So it goes on, scripture doesn't stop there. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off our sin. Let us alleviate our burden. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, instead of just telling you about being entangled in sin, I thought that I would show you what this means. Because there's two things here. It said a hindrance, and it said the sin. And so, Brian, will you indulge me for a second? I want you to see how easy it is to get entangled in sin. I don't think sometimes we realize that sin is not necessarily the gossip and the lying, and it's accepting God's word as being truth. It's, did you know that worrying is a sin? Being stressful is not a sin, but it can be a hindrance. Everything that is a hindrance doesn't necessarily mean it's a sin, but it does mean that it can be a stumbling block on your race. So it said you get easily entangled in sin. So when we are going about our day, when we're in a race, and we have insurance, so if anything happens, we're covered. And when we get entangled in sin, that means we can go about our day, we can do all the things that we need to do, and yet if we're not praying, and if we're not in a relationship with God, and we're not running our race according to how God wants us, then we continue to get entangled in sin. and my sin is going a little bit slow, and I would like him to speed up a little bit. Man, intern, so hard to find. Just hopeless. So it's easy to get entangled in sin. It's easy to lie. It's easy to gossip. It's easy to just say, oh, that's okay. God will forgive me. Oh, I'll just pay my tithes tomorrow. It says the sin you so easily get entangled in. It's your favorite sin. It's your sin that you go back to. It's your sin that you cling to, whether it's overeating or whether it's shopping too much or whether it's not forgiving, whether it's greed or bitterness in your heart. It's that sin that you hold so dearly to. But then it didn't stop there. It said the hindrance. So since hindrance is not a sin, you can walk around literally in your sin and still being a hindrance. So if you can imagine, I'm just going to stay there for a second. So if you can imagine walking around with a hindrance, meaning things that causes you to stumble, but not necessarily are sins. We can walk around all day and not give God praise. We can walk around all day and be okay. He can breathe, he can see, but yet there's a hindrance that we are not noticing. And so when we recognize our brokenness and we recognize our sin, then we can have a better viewpoint of what our hindrance is. Because the goal is not to get entangled in sin, but the goal is also to take away any of the hindrance on our race that keep us from God. You can walk around and you can see just as fine with your hindrance. But what would it look like if we alleviate our burden, give it to the Lord, and then concentrate on him? You can go back to your seat. But I want you to have a consolation prize, so there you go. What does it look like when we concentrate on Jesus? So he wants us to run this race. He wants us to recognize our brokenness and alleviate our burden. Now, if you've ever ran a race or trained for, I think my mic just went off, for a race, in life, we carry a lot of burdens. We carry burdens from things that happened to us in our childhood. We carry burdens from marriages, from our children, from things that happened in our life. The first time that you've ever been fired, first time you ever got into an argument with your kids, first time you ever had a serious health issue and your faith gets shaken. One of the things in Hebrews 11:1 is they all had faith. So we can actually interpret in 12:1-3 that sin that they easily got entangled in was actually the sin of unbelief. That when things got tiresome, when things got weary, then they stopped trusting in the Lord and they went back to pick up the very brokenness and burden they wanted to lay down. You're probably wondering what's in the backpack and why I'm sweating so much. When I show you what's in the backpack, it'll make it clear. You know what this is? This is a brick. It is symbolizes our weight of sin. These are the things that God says that we get entangled that trips us up on our race. If everyone has bricks, your brick could be anything. Your brick could be insecurity. Your brick could be stress. Your brick could be your control freak. Maybe your OCD. I'm a little OCD, so that's okay. We won't count that one as being. But when God wants us to alleviate our burden, when we recognize our brokenness, when we recognize that God is there, when we recognize that there are people who have gone on before us that can testify how good God has been, what happened in 2015 that you don't want to take in with you for 2016? What are some burdens in your life? What are some things, some baggage, some weight that you take in from year after year after year where God is saying, I'm your God. Yes, you're broken, but I want you to be made whole. That we can just say, you know what? I'm going to give that over to the Lord. But it didn't say that he's going to alleviate. Remember, a race is one that we go to complete. And we can't complete the race until we see the Lord. So some of our burdens, we still have to carry. We still have to go on with our race. Yes, God is saying, I will be there with you. And if you recognize your brokenness, you know that people are there with you, but you still have to carry your own weight. And when you do so, it says that you should run so you won't get entangled in sin. You should run, you should run. And some of you are saying, I can't run. I'm 70, I'm 80, I'm 90, I have a walker, I can't run. Then you should walk. And when you can't walk, then you crawl. But you have to make sure your eyes are fixed on the Lord. It doesn't matter how soon you get there. It's the fact that you get there. This is a marathon. The race is a marathon. So as you are thinking about your life and you're thinking about, man, 2015, maybe it was a hard year. Maybe it was a good year. Maybe it was in between. But now it's 2016. Now it's time to not take the burdens, not take that sin that you say, I'll deal with it next week. I'll be in accountability next year. I'll start paying my tithes, when finances are right. God wants you to depend solely on him. Everything we do on this race is to get closer to the Lord. Whether we have kids, whether we're married, a good job, not good job. At the end of the journey, it's going to be you and it's going to be the Lord. And if we keep in mind that our goal is to see Christ at the end of this journey, then it will help us not to have a hindrance, to recognize where we are. But it doesn't stop there. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So you can recognize your brokenness. You can run knowing that there are people who have been there with you, who is cheering you on, who's been down the same path. You can start alleviating your sin. You can lay down your burdens. You can have someone else help you with your burdens by still carrying some of your burdens, but it will not matter unless your eyes are fixed on Jesus. You remember the story where Peter was on the boat and Jesus was walking on the water and Peter, they were afraid and Jesus said, it's just me. And then Peter was like, oh Lord, I wanna do that. That's cool. That's like riding the hoverboard. I wanna come walk on water. And so Peter, Jesus said, well, come on. And so he stepped down and it says that the waves came and the storm came and then he started drowning. It's because he took his eyes off Jesus. When you recognize your brokenness and you recognize the sin you need to give up, don't keep looking at that sin. You look at the Lord. Don't look at the circumstances that you're in or the circumstance you may be into. You look to the Lord. It says you fix your eyes on Jesus. Think of Abraham. Think of Isaac. Think of Moses. They got through all of that because their eyes were fixed on the Lord. When we take our eyes off the Lord, we allow unbelief to enter our race. It doesn't matter where you are on your race. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, for 20 years. Unless your eye is on the Lord, what does it matter? He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that has a heaven to put you in or a hell that you can choose to go to. Your eyes have to be on God. We have to keep our eyes on God when it matters. We have to keep our eyes on God when we think we don't need him. And we even have to keep our eyes on God when things are going well in our lives. Never take your eyes off the prize. And the prize is to be with the Lord. So we recognize our brokenness. We alleviate our burden and our sin. We concentrate on Jesus. And then, my friends, we have to endure. That is probably the hardest thing about the Christian race, that even after doing all of this, even after all the prayers, all the Bible studies, all of the accountability group, all of reading scripture, memorizing scripture, that at the end of the day, you have to endure. You have to endure whatever state you are in your race. Whether you are fresh being a Christian, you just accepted Christ as your Savior, whether you are been walking with the Lord for a very long time and you're struggling with where you are. Let's say your health is not as well as you would like it to be. We have to endure. We have to endure when things rise up against us. We're living in a world where we have 9/11s and Columbines and San Bernardino and ISIS. But yet we have to pray for our nation. We have to pray for one another, and we have to endure. Because the race is not given to the swift, or even the battle to the strong, but as one who can endure to the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air, nor do I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. When we endure, it says that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he is now sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Considering him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. My friends, as we run this race, and I apologize, I did not bring a handkerchief. As we run this race, and as we endure, we must know that as we run, that God is running with us, and that we have access to all the benefits of being in a race. We have access to his mercy. We have access to his forgiveness. We have access to his grace. We have access to the things that we hold so dearly to that we can just simply hand it over to God. I mean, that's why we run this thing together. It said, let us do this. Let us go. Let us run this race. Let's lay down anything that hinders. When you walked in, you were giving a bulletin, and in the bulletin it has a sticky note. And as we prepare for communion, as you reflect over your time of 2015, and as you think about what weight do you need to give up? Where are you at in your journey? Are you at the place where you fully rely on God? Where you recognize your brokenness, but you're not ready to invite other people in to help you? Are you at the place where you've invited other people in, but yet that weight is still there and you feel that God hasn't answered? When you invite God into your brokenness and you invite God to be a part of your healing and your redemption, you can love like you never loved before. You can love your family like you never loved before. You can love your kids like you never loved before. Because the things that would normally hinder you or would trouble you or that would bother you, you now hand it over to God and accept his grace in that spot. When you're stressed at work and you're like, man, this world, I don't want to take it anymore, then you know that, man, I'm on a race and I just have to endure. You have to think about what Jesus did on the cross. Is that God sent his only begotten son into the world to die on the cross for our sins. So can you imagine God sending his son knowing that it would be despair, there would be shame, there would be guilt, there would be stumbling blocks, there would be stones thrown at him. He would be pierced in the side. If we're really looking to Jesus as we journey on this race, let him be the great example. Let him be how you get spiritually fit. Recognize where you are. then go from there. Even if you don't even know where you are, there's some people who is, I don't even know what this race is. I'm not even a Christian. It's all right. I invite you to start your race today. I invite you to not do another day of 2016 unless you have the Lord with you. And for those that are in the room who have been walking with God but may feel that they are disconnected to God, I invite you to pray. I invite you to recognize whatever stop or hindrance or sin that has kept you from connecting with God. As you take communion, I invite you on the sticky note is to write down what is your sin that you easily get entangled in. Like only you know. And this requires you to have to search your heart, to really search your heart. And what sin do you want to work on? Maybe it's the sin of bitterness, of something that happened to you when you were little. Maybe it's greed. Maybe you hoard your money and you hoard your things. Maybe you're just a liar. You lie about who you are. You lie about where you go. Maybe you're just alone and you use other things to cope. I invite you to put whatever sin you have symbolically to write it down. And as you take communion, I want you to exchange your weight, your burden, for the gift of God. To either start your race, begin your race, or restart where you last left off. There are four stations. There's three in the front and there's one in the back. And each station has a bucket. After you write your sin and you take communion, I ask that before you take communion, that you drop your burden, your weight, into the bucket. Now, this is just simply symbolic, but I want you to have your mind and your heart and your soul entwined that whatever is hindering you on this race, that you don't want to take it through 2016 into 2017 and 2018, and before you know it, you're going to see the Lord and you have all these weights that you've been carrying. One of the goals of running in a race is that you want to carry as little as possible. Little guilt, little shame. It doesn't matter how small it is or how big it is. We serve a God that is so powerful that he can just simply erase it. He can just simply pour his love into it. He can just simply pour the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ into it. Doesn't matter what it is. From little to old. Whatever it is, don't take it back home. Don't let your hindrance, don't let your sin keep you from experience the redemption love that only comes from Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a God that we can just lay down our burdens at the cross. We can come to you when we're in need, and we can come to you when we simply just want to praise your name. I ask, Lord, if there's anyone here that has never accepted you as their Savior, that they would start their race today, that they would have an encounter with you that is so powerful that they can't but help but accept the goodness and the mercy and the forgiveness that comes from being in a relationship with you. For those who are walking and on their race who have struggled and are stumbling over stuff, Lord, I ask that they can come now and take communion and lay down their burdens. Be with us, Lord. Love us so that we may see you one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.